Discussions with the Jiang Zhichen in Taiwan, September 2018. Recorded and edited by Jonathan and Sarah. Speakers include Eleanor, Sarah, Jonathan, Sukin, Florence, Cindy, Anna, Nina, Tam, Betty, Zhao, Tai, Vincent, Nana, Hai, Maggie, Tiny Tam, and Hang. Hello everyone, this is the first Dhamma discussion of this trip, and we have three newcomers and two French people, Florence and Helena, and also Anna, is she here? Anna is not here yet, okay. And Cindy is also, but she's not really a newcomer. She's a second trip with Ajahn. So we'll have some more fundamental discussion. Welcome everyone.
We need to start at the beginning and just learn about one word at a time. The first word we're going to learn about is Dhamma, which means reality. For people who haven't studied the Dhamma, the Buddha's teachings, like you mentioned before, you just carry on with your work and get up, do the jobs that need to be done all day, and usually don't think about what the meaning of life is or what life is at this moment. So the Buddha's teachings are all about the understanding of life at this moment. Usually if we ask people what life is at this moment, they think life is getting up, brushing teeth, eating breakfast, doing work, and this is life. But what we begin to learn is that life is just this moment, one moment only. Because what happened yesterday has completely gone. Even what happened at breakfast just now, completely gone. And what hasn't come, hasn't come. So life is just one moment. And there is just one moment of consciousness at a time. I think because you have read a little bit, you have heard one word, citta. Citta is consciousness. In life, there is one moment of consciousness at a time. So seeing now is citta. Hearing now is citta. Thinking now is citta. One moment of consciousness at a time, which arises and falls away immediately. This is life coming back to this very moment. Usually we think in life that there is a Florence or a Jonathan or a Suchin or a Sarah that sees and hears and experiences. But what we learn is this is just our common idea. Actually, at this moment of seeing experiences what is visible. And where is the Florence or the Eleanor or the Sarah? Because it's seeing at this moment which sees, and just that which is visible, which is seen. And it's only because of memory and thinking that afterwards there is the idea of I can see people or cups or microphones. Actually, at a moment of seeing now, seeing just sees what is visible and then is gone. Afterwards, there is thinking about it. And at a moment of hearing now, we think we can hear the words that are spoken or my voice or the sounds of moving chairs. Actually, it's just sound that is heard now. So this is life. This is the world. Just one moment of experiencing at a time. Just one object experienced. So at a moment of hearing, hearing is the world. And sound is the world that is heard. Thinking about it, thinking about the people inside moving chairs and preparing this and that, these are all ideas. So at each moment, one world is real, but then there's thinking about all sorts of imaginary ideas. So actually we are here to study what the truth of life is, not what we have always imagined it to be. Like when we're sleeping at night and we wake up, we know that the dreams we had were not real. We know that they were just fantasies, imaginations, ideas that were conjured up during the night. Actually, there were none of those fantasies. They were just dreams. But even when we're awake during the day, when we're thinking about our work, thinking about our breakfast, thinking about the man who just passed on the motorbike, usually we're lost in the stories, the dreams, the fantasies, with no understanding that actually at this moment there is just seeing for a moment, thinking for a moment, hearing for a moment, just different realities arising and falling away. And we may ask, what is the purpose of studying this? The purpose is to understand the truth of life, that actually in reality, there's no Sarah, no Eleanor, no one who can control anything in life. There are just different realities, different dharmas arising by different conditions and falling away. Is it interesting and helpful to understand more about realities?
Yes, sure.
So what is difficult for me to understand is when you say it's just life is about hearing or seeing, but the time I understand that I see and that I hear, it's already gone, right? So then, what is the present moment? How can I catch it?
And this is exactly the point. So there's seeing for a moment, and then afterwards there's the idea, I can see. So when there's the idea, I can see, actually it's not seeing anymore, because the seeing has gone, and then it's thinking, I can see the people outside here, I can see Ajahn Suchin. So that is thinking. So it's not a matter of catching anything, but beginning to understand that seeing is one thing, and the idea that I can see, or that there are people here who are seen, these are different objects of thinking, different from the moment of seeing, different from the moment of hearing. So it's not a matter of doing anything, because as soon as there's the idea of doing something, it's the idea of I can do again.
I can just add something to that also, because that moment of seeing or hearing, as you say, that one tries to catch, has gone already. But seeing and hearing are arising repeatedly. And so when understanding develops, understanding is able to distinguish between the moments of seeing or hearing and the moments of thinking about what is being seen or heard, or the object of the seeing or hearing. So we talk about these different realities not to try and catch them, but so that there can be considering over time as to whether or not in reality it is like that. And if there's some reflection, it's possible that there can be awareness of the seeing or the hearing or the thinking or the visible object or the sound, but not by choosing to be aware, but because awareness is also another reality which, like seeing and hearing, just arises by conditions. So there can be awareness of one or other of these realities, not a single moment, but a sequence of moments of the same reality, but not by trying to catch.
And Florence, when you have the impression, when you say that it's seeing is gone, hearing is gone, when you say that seeing is gone, hearing is gone, what's there at that moment? Thinking,
yeah.
Right? So there's always something, and when the thinking is gone, there's always another reality all the time.
But then if I'm thinking of the what I heard just before, and the moment is happening, you know, it's just a different time.
But there's always a reality. But as Jonathan and Sarah were talking about, it's not about trying to catch the realities,
okay.
But there's always a reality. So you hear about seeing which is gone, but that can be a reminder about to attend to what's now. So if seeing is gone, there's something else. But it's not like it's going to happen, because that depends on the understanding, the accumulated understanding, which automatically attends to the present moment. In the beginning, you just hear about these things and understand at the intellectual level that this is the way life is.
Mm. First, so new to you when you hear about seeing and thinking that there are just different moments. It means like this, we have to hear that a lot and many times, and then it can sink in, and there is some intellectual understanding, but not yet direct understanding. Jonathan was talking about awareness. But awareness is another reality, and that arises with direct understanding. And then everything is more clear. But it cannot be in the beginning. First, we have to get used to all those different chittas or moments of consciousness, like seeing, and you don't see people because that is thinking already. And then there is hearing. And only very slowly it can develop, and that is the intellectual understanding, but that is not theoretical. It is always of the present moment, what is now. It's not from the book or book knowledge, because that doesn't help so much. And only the intellectual understanding of this moment now, when we hear a lot, it can condition direct understanding later on.
Do you see anything now?
Yes, I see something. I think
that is seeing right now, right?
I see.
And if seeing does not arise at all, can there be I see? If there is no hearing, can you think that I hear? See? So can you make seeing arise?
No.
Can you make hearing arise? But they're conditions. They're conditioned to arise by their proper conditions. The proper condition for seeing is different from the proper condition for hearing. Even now, you are thinking about something, seeing is there, arising and falling away, unknowingly all the time. But there is there. Condition for seeing to just arise and falls away. But there are so many realities arising and falling away in split seconds, beyond expectation. That's why no one knows about realities as they are, as no one there at all. Only conditions which condition many, many things to arise at once. So it seems like there are so many things here, but actually, seeing, not hearing, not thinking at all. That's why if there is no precise understanding of any reality at all, there must be the idea of I or something all the time. Right?
Right.
What is seen now? Please.
What do I see?
What is seen?
What is seen?
What is the object which is seen?
Yeah.
The difference is because we just explained it's seeing that's seen. So the question is, what is seen?
By my eyes.
But if we say, what do I see? Immediately it's the idea that I can see. Okay. So what is seen by seeing? Seeing itself, the chitta, the seeing consciousness. What is seen?
But is it... then I am not the one to answer? What is seen, everyone can answer, right?
It's the same for everyone, you are right, but what is it? Because we take what is seen for being this world of people and things, right? So we've already interpreted what is seen, just like when we hear, we've already understood the meaning of the word spoken. But that has to be after the sound is heard, because obviously there has to be the hearing of sound before there can be the understanding of the meaning of any word spoken.
Right.
So let's go back to seeing and ask the same question. Just as what is heard by the ear consciousness or by ears is sound, what is it that is seen by seeing?
I don't know.
We don't know, but it's there, but it's unknown, but it can be known.
So for now, I don't know.
And also, you may know the answer because you read about it, but that's not the point. The point is that it's seeing now. Seeing is arising now, and there's an object which seeing sees. And this is what is to be understood. We don't know its nature. We might be able to label it once we've read the book. We say it's visible object. But the point is to understand what's happening now, the reality that we're referring to now.
Yeah, that's very good to always stress that it is now, because I find that I have never enough of listening to seeing, like Ajahn explains so often about what seeing is. And I listen to her already more than 40 years, but I never get enough. I find it really helps, even by being together now and discussing Dhamma. It helps more than reading in books about seeing. And this is really the way that can be a little, like today, you have a little bit more understanding. Very, very little, but it is encouraging because it can grow when it is the right way.
And it's better to be your own understanding, your own thinking. Otherwise, it's only remembering what is said. So now, what is seen? Just one word, anything. What is seen?
Is what is seen?
What is the meaning of seeing? Because maybe it can be something like
no.
What is around you and what your eyes see without understanding anything.
We just talk and, about very common thing in daily life.
Yes.
Like when you asked what is seen, you can say what is seen. So it's not much to think about beyond that. But what is seen? Very simple. Hmm. Now, just one thing.
Because there is what is seen
now,
and what we understand we see.
No, I don't talk about the other thing. Just that which is seen now. What is seen? Just one thing. There are so many things. Just one. What is that which is seen? Just.
By you.
Elena.
I see you. You are seen.
Okay. Close your eyes. Can you see me?
Yes.
No.
No. I think about you.
Yeah. So we see that there is no understanding at all about anything in life. We just talk about anything that we don't really understand. We use the word that we don't understand. But when we begin to hear the words of the Buddha, the truth is there. So true. When you said that you see me, and when you close your eyes, where is me? So actually, in truth, what is seen? See, this is the beginning of understanding what appears in one's life all the time, most of the time. So what is seen? You can change your answer. Do you see Kunina? Close your eyes, there's no Nina. There's nothing is seen anymore. So what is the reality that can be seen? Not me, because you take this from me and this from Kunina. But actually, closing your eyes, nothing is there that can be seen anymore, anytime, one closes one's eyes. So what the seeing see, not you, but the seeing itself, what does it see? Very, very difficult to think about, because we take that which is seen all the time as something.
It's difficult, but actually it's easy.
It's true.
Because when you say it, it's...
No one think about that before. Mm. So true. And where is that which is seen? See, keep on. Something to think about, food of thought, and to understand the world from moment of birth to death, from morning to night. Just one reality at a time.
Because when you say you see Ajahn Suchin, for example, you are singling out some particular object from what is seen, right? Because it's not just cup or table or a given individual. What is seen is different from identifying an object.
What we see is what is here in front of us. So what we see is the bottle here, the fruit, and behind all of you, and what we see. But after we think about what we see, I think what is your name, I think what is this, and I think the name of this.
See, Elena,
even to know there's a bottle, there has to be thinking, right?
Sorry?
You say, I see the cup, the table, the...
Yeah, first I see this object, I don't know what it is, and after I think it is the bottle, and then I start to see.
But you're not just seeing that object, are you?
Yeah, this is
the object is only one part of what you're seeing.
Because I focus on what I see, and I think about, because now I speak with you and I see you, and I not see what is around, but my eyes see.
Regardless of where the focus is, what is being seen is not just a bottle or a table or a particular person, right?
Yes.
That's the focus is the object of the thinking, is the direction of thinking, but nothing to do with seeing. Mm. So that's what we're trying to distinguish between what is seen and what is thought about. So when we say we're focusing on something, that's thinking. That's the mental process, right?
Yeah. But it's difficult to see without seeing.
But that's the...
You don't have to think first in order to see or hear.
See, Elena, I understood what you were referring to. Like, if you turn in this direction, you see one thing. You turn that direction, you see one thing. And you turn that direction, you see one thing. Say you see object A, then B, then C. But what's the common in all this? Now I'm seeing Betty, then Jonathan, then Nina, right? But what's the common? Means that there's something that's common. When I look this direction, I look that direction, and that direction, before I recognize that this is Betty, this is that. What conditions, what is it that after I open my eyes, I think about Betty? There must be something also, other than just thinking, right? I must see something before saying that this is Betty, identifying that there's Betty. I must see something before saying that's Jonathan, or that's Nina. So we're talking about that thing, which is regardless of what we think we see, right? It doesn't matter if it's Betty or Jonathan or Nina, is there's a reality that experiences
see
something, right? So that's the reality we're talking about.
The reality is when you see, you not analyze, you not think, you just see.
That's right. I mean, in the sense that it happens so fast that what is seen and then what is thought about, what is interpreted, when we interpret, it's almost instantaneous because it's so fast. So what is seen and what the mind interprets are actually two different things.
Yes.
The mind interprets objects, things with shape and form. We see persons, we see objects, and we think that that is what we are seeing. But actually, before the mind even gets there to that point where it interprets and says, this is a book, because of memory, we understand, this thing shaped like this is a book, and we have certain feelings about this book. So this shapes what we think we're seeing. We see shape and form of these things, this thermos and bottles and books and people and tables and all these kind of things. But before that even happens, because it's so fast, we don't know that it's happening. But before that even happens, something is seen.
Yeah.
And what is seen is a reality.
Yeah.
What we interpret here, all of these things, these are just, in a sense, figments of the imagination.
Yeah, even perspective is... even the perspective.
The depth and... The
That is... It has nothing to do with...
It is the interpretation of
perspective.
The...
perspective. That I'm not sure.
Yes, yes.
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 Even the idea of the shape, the form, the direction, it's... Actually, what is seen is just the visible object, just that which is seen, and any idea of shape or perspective or direction or anything else is thinking about it. So we can say that what is seen is just the visible object, just that which is seen, and anything else, as soon as an idea of Suchin or Sarah or microphone or perspective, it's thinking already.
So I have one question. So then what is the difference between a baby who is going to experience... who is not going to experience, but just see, actually, without thinking, I think. And because in a way, what you're talking about should be compared to this. I don't know. It's something if I just see, if I just hear...
What about an animal, a little puppy dog running around, or a bird? Is there any thinking, or is there just visible object that's seen?
If the bird, you're asking, the bird can see and can...
So the seeing, no matter we're talking about the bird or the dog, or for us, seeing just sees is visible, the visible object. And no matter we're talking about adult humans or babies... or dogs or birds, actually, after seeing, immediately there's thinking about patterns, shapes, not in words yet. Otherwise, there wouldn't be any idea of how, which direction to go to get food or what to do to get attention. So even in the case of the baby, after seeing, immediately there's thinking of patterns and shapes, even though no words yet.
And this is the nature of life, different experiences through different senses, seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, touching, and thinking about what has been seen and heard.
Mm.
And that is life at this moment. Those are the realities of the present moment, seeing and its object, hearing and its object, and thinking about what has been seen and heard.
And the aim isn't to get back to being like a baby or a bird or a dog that just sees visible object and doesn't think much about it.
Yeah.
The aim is not to think less or to change anything, but just to understand how life is.
Without controlling.
Because who can control anyway? Yeah. Like Ajahn said to you, can you stop seeing now, or can you choose what is seen now? And you said no. Can anyone stop hearing now or choose what is heard now? No. So each moment of seeing, each moment of hearing, each moment of thinking arises by different causes or conditions. No one who can control it at all. So the aim is not to change it or stop it or make it another way, but just to understand it as it is.
I want to add something. You said without control, so it means you start to understand already, but it's not you's understanding. But as understanding is a mental factor which can arise with citta, but it doesn't often arise because our understanding is still weak in the beginning. And we hear about these different realities or dhammas, you can call them dhamma. And it's so complicated, it's all new to us. But then we start to understand the difference between the world of realities, of Dhammas, and what we mean in conventional terms, thinking of many stories about the table and the person. Those are things which are not real in the absolute sense, but we call them concepts or fantasy worlds. And it helps a lot to start to know the difference, but we have to know that Panya is weak in the beginning, but it can grow little by little.
Panya, which Nina just mentioned, this is understanding. So we're talking a lot about the understanding of realities in life. And there is one term she just mentioned, Panya. Panya is understanding, right understanding.
Anna, do you find it difficult, what you hear now?
No.
What is life now, Anna? What is real now?
The surroundings.
What do you mean by the surroundings?
Near us, the object. The object.
What is the object?
Well, the material things around us.
Can the material things be seen?
Yes.
Because we're just talking about how what is seen is just what is visible, and as soon as there's an idea of material things like cup or table, is it what is seen or is it what is thought about?
Well, initially seen.
Seen. So what is seen is just what is visible, and as soon as there's an impression or an idea of material things around us, actually it's thinking, it's not what is seen.
Okay.
And what is heard is just sound. What is touched? Are material things touched or what is touched?
Well, these are the senses of perception, the way you understand what's around you, the way you percept what's around you.
So at this moment of touching, what is touched?
I'm touching this.
Yeah.
I'm touching this cold.
Cold.
Without thinking of it.
Right, yes.
I'm so the feeling I'm sitting on something very uncomfortable and hard. I touch something not nice with my back.
So there are many different things mixed up together. So the coldness is actually touched. The hardness is actually touched. But the ideas of something not very nice, something
this
uncomfortable,
is already,
this is all thinking
yeah.
about it. Because actually, just the tangible object is just hard or cold. But as soon as it's an idea of not comfortable and
yeah.
the chair, then it's already thinking about it. So the reality of what is seen is just what is visible. The reality that is touched is just the hardness or the coldness. But as soon as there's an idea of I can experience the perspective or the objects or the material things around, actually, they're just ideas that are thought about.
Mm.
Gradually, we're learning about the difference between what is real and what is an idea or a concept.
And the reason we're talking about these realities is that these are what can be directly experienced or understood, whereas table cannot be understood. There's nothing to be understood about the idea of a table, because what is being directly experienced at the present moment is the visible object that we mentioned earlier, or what is being heard is the sound. And it is eye consciousness that's experiencing the visible, and it's ear consciousness that, or hearing, that's experiencing the sound. So these are realities. So if the world is to be understood as it is, then these are the things to be understood, rather than the external objects that we conceive of.
I think what Jonathan is saying, I would like to refer to the word you just used, material. You say what you see is material. What you see are material things. But the word material itself, would not refer to only that which is seen, right? It must have been also the result of having touched. You say it's a material thing. This is a material thing because you also remember how it felt like. You can see and how it felt like.
I don't know how it feels like.
Okay, but usually when people talk, say for example, you say these are material things, they're talking about things that are a result of many experiences through different doorways, to what's seen, what's touched, what's felt, that's material. So this is generally how we see the world before we hear the Dhamma. We think that what's seen also has a different, a particular taste, a particular sensation, and we come to the conclusion that that thing can be seen, that thing can be touched, that thing can be smelled, that thing can be tasted. So, but in reality, it's actually one experience to the different senses and the mind at a time. So we come to understand life in a different way. What we used to take to be real is actually the result of thinking without knowing what's actually going on from moment to moment. We don't know what seeing sees. We think we see fruits. But when we hear the Dhamma, we begin to understand that actually seeing doesn't see fruit. The idea of fruit is the result of thinking. We have memory about past experience of what we've seen, what we've tasted, what we've touched. And these are actually different realities that can be known. As Jonathan was saying, the point is to understand the realities. You can't understand fruit or table because that's just an idea. What can be understood are the different experiences through one doorway at a time, like now. And that's why we come back to now, because they're seen now. The same way as you had gave you the idea of fruit and the memory of it in the past, because they were seen, now they are seen. And this is the seeing that needs to be understood. This is the hardness. This is the touch. This is the hearing. This is the sound that needs to be understood. Otherwise, we just go on in the same way, thinking that we hear bells, we hear people talking, we see people. But that's not how the real life is. The real life is one moment at a time.
At the moment of seeing what can be known, there is seeing now what can be known. We have talked about already what can be known at moment of seeing. Which means what seeing sees, right? Seeing sees that which can be seen only. It cannot see sound, it cannot see order, it cannot see hardness. What it can see is only that which can impinge on the iris. That's why there must be the eyes, otherwise there cannot be seeing at all. No one can make seeing arise at all. But now, when we're talking about seeing, it's there already. No one makes it arise. So this is the truth, that whatever arises depends on its proper conditions for its arising, right? If you haven't seen me before, you might not have any idea at all. But after seeing, it brings about the idea of who's there, the name and so forth. So what can be just seen, being the object of seeing, must be only a reality. We cannot say that it's not real because it now appears. So it's real, but it doesn't belong to anyone and it cannot be taken for anything at all. It just is there, which nothing can impinge on the eye base or the eye, what you call the eye sense or just eye, which condition seeing, otherwise there never be seeing at all. No matter who tries so hard to have seeing arise without the eye, it's impossible. So at this moment of seeing, what are there, not only one, what are there that can be known or understood? They are now, ours now at moment of seeing. So what can be known at moment of seeing?
What is seen?
All right, visible object. We call it visible object. But it doesn't matter at all what we call it. In French, in Thai, or any language. Because the reality is there. That which can be seen. And what else?
What can be known?
The same thing.
Yeah.
But what else? It's there. At moment of seeing.
Can you say it again?
For example, earlier one of you mentioned, one of you said, is it eyes that see? And we said, no, it's seeing which sees. So there's the seeing, that reality which experiences what is seen. There's the visible object which is seen. And as Ajahn just mentioned, in order for the visible object to be seen, it has to have impinged on the eye, on the eye sense. So there has to be the eye or the eye sense in order for seeing to see visible object. So the condition for seeing to be able to see what is seen is that there must be eye sense. If someone is completely blind and there's no eye sense, nothing can be seen.
Mm-mm.
No visible object can appear. So there has to be eye sense. So there's the seeing, there is that which is seen, the visible object, and there is the eye sense which the visible object has impinged on. And the eye sense itself cannot see at all, because like the visible object, it's just that kind of reality that cannot experience anything. So actually we talk about two kinds of realities. Those realities which experience an object, such as seeing or hearing or thinking, liking, disliking, they all experience an object. And then there are those realities that are real now but cannot experience anything, such as visible object or eye sense. So at a moment of seeing, there is seeing, there is visible object, there is eye sense. There are more realities too, which we haven't talked about, just these three so far. So the condition for seeing at that moment is the visible object and the eye sense. Otherwise there couldn't be any seeing. Is that clear? Sort of.
I not understand all.
Yes, no.
So you say the condition to see is to have a visible object.
There must be a visible object and there must be eye sense.
And, yes. And the sense of seeing.
Yes.
The eye sense, the eye is E-Y-E.
The eye sense, and the reason we say eye sense, not just eye, it's not just the conventional eye, but it's in the what we call this area. So it's the eye sense, or it is that reality, we can call it a rupa, where the visible object has to contact, has to impinge, otherwise there couldn't be seeing. So for someone who is blind, there are many visible objects, but they're not seen because there isn't the eye sense that the visible object has contacted or impinged on.
Now you speak about the condition.
Now this is because Jan's question is, what is there at the moment of seeing? Okay. So I'm saying there must be the visible object, and there must be the eye sense. Actually, many other realities too, but little by little. Because in the beginning, many people say a little bit like Anna did, actually, not so complicated, not so difficult. Sometimes in Vietnam, our friends bring their parents and they say, oh, I know all of this because, of course, I know there's seeing and there's hearing and so on. But actually, it's all taken for the idea of I see, I hear, I have these experiences, I see things. So it seems very simple. But to be precise, it's quite very deep, deeper and deeper. So this is just the very beginning we're talking about.
Yeah, it seems it's too common and not so interesting. We all know that. Why do we talk so much about it? But it's like this. We take it for self, that is seeing. Even we do not say it is self, but there's still some idea, but it's hidden to us. We don't realize it. And that is because of ignorance. That is another mental factor. We talked about understanding or panya. But there is also another mental factor which arises with all that is unwholesome, and that is ignorance. And that is because of ignorance there is unknown that we really cling, and we say, but I don't cling, I don't take it for self. But that's not true. Because of ignorance, we do not see it. It needs a little more understanding by discussing now and asking questions to realize that the clinging is so deep. So, and that is what Sarah said, that is so subtle, the Dhamma is so subtle. That is the reason, really.
I just share my personal experience about when I first heard about all the seeing and hearing, and I didn't realize what's the benefit. And then even though far away from direct experience, but even consider intellectually, consider and then the logic, the world is imagined. And then in daily life, when there are situation with people or some story that make me not happy, it actually remind me that imagined world, what's really the problem is what's inside, the liking or disliking after seeing, after the imagined people or story. That's what benefit to me for the past about 1 year to consider all this, but from beginning to more detail.
Actually, to go a little bit deeper still, we can say there are just three kinds of reality in life. So I mentioned cittas, so moments of experience such as seeing or hearing or thinking are cittas, C-I-T-T-A, cittas. So cittas experience an object. At every moment of life there is citta. And just now I mentioned rupas, R-U-P-A, rupas. Rupas are those realities which cannot experience anything. So visible object is rupa. Sound is rupa. Eye sense is rupa. Ear sense is rupa. Hardness is rupa. Heat or cold are rupa. So these are the realities that cannot experience anything. And the other reality which Vincent and Nina were talking about were different mental factors such as liking, disliking, understanding, feeling. These are all mental factors that arise with the cittas, and we call them cetasikas, C-E-T-A-S-I-K-A, cetasikas. So cittas and cetasikas are those realities that experience an object, and rupas are the realities that don't experience anything. So this is actually life from moment to moment, just the rising and falling away of different cittas, cetasikas and rupas. And you're going to hear about them a lot during the next few days. So when seeing arises and it experiences visible object, it cannot arise alone. It has to be accompanied by seven cetasikas, seven mental factors, which also experience the visible object. It's like the captain of the football team. He has to have the other football players to assist him. Or the king, he has to have a retinue that arrives with him. So citta is like the king or the captain. But there have to be these other cetasikas that arise together and experience the same object. So, for example, one of them is contact. At the moment of seeing visible object, there has to be a mental factor that contacts the object. So gradually we learn more and more that actually there are just these different dhammas, cittas, cetasikas and rupas in life. No one there at all.
And just to clarify, the importance here is the different kinds of realities rather than the names. So at the present moment, there is experiencing of different kinds. For example, the hearing consciousness is experiencing sound. I'm referring to two different kinds of realities. One is a reality that can experience something, and the other, sound, is also a reality, but sound cannot experience anything. And that's the purpose of the distinction we're trying to make. That's the main point to be understood rather than the name that is given, because the name could be anything. But of course we are referring to the name that's found in the Buddha's teaching. The first of those realities, the experiencing, we've also divided into two different kinds, and one is the consciousness itself, and the other is the mental factors that accompany the consciousness. When there's the experiencing of sound, this is followed by thinking about the sound, and one may like or dislike the sound that has just been heard. And the liking or disliking is different from the actual experiencing. The moment of thinking is accompanied by like or dislike. Those are mental factors that accompany the moment of consciousness. So three different kinds of realities at most moments of life.
So, again, what are there at moment of seeing? We can think deeper to really understand better. Otherwise, it's only just hearing and remembering only. But actually, it has to be one's own understanding, which begin to understand what is said as it is. For example, visible object cannot be anything at all. No matter where in the world, it must be a reality which can be seen. Can it be heard? Never. So what is there at moment of seeing? That which is seen and the seeing. So what is the nature of seeing? Simple but very deep.
To see what can be seen?
At moment of seeing.
At moment of seeing.
What are there? There must be that which is seen, visible object. Only a reality that can be seen. No matter you talk about sound or smell or hardness or whatever, those reality can never be seen at all. Only one reality in truth must be now, which is seen, no matter you call it what. So it's a reality. You cannot change it. You cannot make it arise at all. It has to be as it is. And what else is there at moment of seeing? The seeing itself. Otherwise, that which is seen now cannot be seen. Right? So it's the function of seeing. The reality which arises, just arise to see. It cannot think, it cannot hear, it cannot like, it cannot do anything at all. It's conditioned just to arise and see, that's all. And it falls away instantly. And the other reality is conditioned, and there are many moments in between unknown. So what can be known in daily life is only through eyes, ears, nose, tongue, body, and mind. That's all. But there are more realities which cannot be known, but can be studied and learned to understand the truth that actually, in a moment, there must be many realities without anyone's control at all. For example, can you make seeing arise now? Never. Can you stop its arising and falling away? No. It falls away unknowingly because there's hearing. But they seem like they are together, like seeing and hearing. But actually, seeing cannot hear and hearing cannot see at all. So there are different realities.
But can it be at the same time? Can you experience it at the same time?
Actually, we are talking about realities. And can that be you, like seeing? Seeing sees, arising and falling away. Can it be you or yours, seeing? Or is it just seeing itself? This is learned to understand that actually there's no self, no idea of self at all. If nothing arise, there wouldn't be anything appear. Even there are things like hardness and softness, we take it from mountain or lake or whatever. Without that which arises and experiences it, anything cannot be seen at all. So seeing arises just to see. No matter in what life, this life, next life, or this moment, or other moment, next moment, or tomorrow, seeing sees only. Seeing cannot do anything at all. So seeing cannot be I, cannot be anyone at all. That's why we're talking about the absolute truth.
But which one arises first? If somebody is singing, for example.
It seems that there can, your question is whether there can be, for example, seeing and hearing at the same time.
Maybe,
or something.
Yes.
But actually what we learn is there can only be one moment of experience at a time.
Okay, yeah,
one citta arising and falling away at a time. So it seems now there can be seeing and hearing and thinking all at the same time. But actually, it's not so.
Okay.
At a moment of seeing, there cannot be hearing. At a moment of seeing, there cannot be thinking. So just one experience at a time. So a moment of seeing, then other moments of experiencing through the eye door, and then moments of thinking afterwards, and then moments of hearing. But they arise and fall away so rapidly, it seems there can be many experiences together, but this is just because of ignorance, not understanding.
Achan, just now were you referring to the fact that seeing, because there's the, after seeing, there's the idea of I see, that we also think that seeing and hearing at the same time?
Because not understanding reality as reality, arising and falling away by conditions, it seems like all realities are permanent, like we are here sitting, talking. But actually, there is no one at all. There are only different realities from moment to moment. So the idea of self, when there's ignorance, not understanding, seeing as just a reality, no one can control its arising and falling away. No one can make it arise at all. There is the idea that I can do, I can see. Open your eyes and there's seeing. Close your eyes, there's no seeing. But actually, each one is conditioned to arise by its proper conditions. For example, the ear cannot condition seeing at all. The sound cannot condition seeing. See, so each moment is conditioned moment by its proper conditions. No one, because actually seeing cannot be anyone at all. Is seeing a dog or seeing a cat or seeing a human being or seeing a fish? Seeing is just seeing. There is no I at all, no self. There are only different absolute realities. So what are there now? What are there now?
That's for you.
What are there? What, oh, what is real? The seeing?
Realities.
Yes, reality.
Yes.
It's just experience, consciousness.
If there is no reality at all, can there be anyone?
No.
No. So what are there are different realities. Seeing is a reality, hearing is a reality. But ignorance takes it for I see and I hear, and cling to that so much as mine or me all the time.
Yes. But can you tell us why do people cling on so much?
Not understanding the truth that whatever arises falls away instantly all the time. No gap.
They don't see the gap.
No gap.
They think it's worth clinging to, but because it arises and falls away so rapidly, it's worthless and it's gone. So one is clinging to what has gone already. And a minute ago you said what is real now is consciousness. We've been talking about different kinds of consciousness. We can be more specific than saying just consciousness. Is seeing a kind of consciousness, or is it a non-mental function, seeing?
Seeing. So the reality is just seeing and hearing.
But is seeing itself, is it a process of some kind, a physical process, or is it a kind of consciousness?
Some kind of consciousness.
So is it the eye that sees, or is it consciousness that sees?
The eye sense, the eyes that see.
Is it the physical eye that does the seeing, or is it the consciousness that does the seeing?
Consciousness.
So we have a different understanding of the present moment.
The conditions for hearing, for seeing, I understand that are seeing, so good eyes and objects around. And then this is seeing, correct? Yes? Was my understanding correct?
Well, we can say that without the eye, there could not be seeing.
Yeah.
But there's still the question of whether the actual seeing is a mental process or a physical one.
It's a physical one, for sure.
Well, that is the conventional understanding, and that is the scientific view. But we are talking about what is actually happening at the present moment, because that's what we're trying to understand. So at the present moment, is the perception of seeing a mental or physical experience?
Physical.
How do you know?
I get up very late. I'm a very late riser in the morning.
Yes, we've noticed that.
Sorry, you noticed that, and you don't know, but my conditions for hearing are not totally fulfilled. For instance, I had moments I just heard words without understanding. Yeah, because this is how I do not function in the morning. So my conditions for hearing are not met in this moment. So I have ears. And I hear words, correct? I don't understand anything, what's about. I don't think about it. It's not going through my filters of understanding. I just heard words. It happened to me before. So with seeing, if I don't have eyes, I just need eyes to see something.
So let's talk about just a reality.
The reality of...
At a moment, just one reality. For example, is sound hearing?
Sound?
Is it hearing?
No.
So, there is hearing, right?
Yes, there is the sense of hearing.
No, just hearing. We don't talk about anything scientific or whatever. Just talk about the truth. There is hearing.
Yeah, hearing, very basic.
No, just hearing. There is hearing, right?
Yes, hearing, right, correct. Yes, I understand.
And there is sound, which is heard at moment of hearing. Only at moment of hearing, only.
Yeah.
So that which can experience sound or knows the sound is a reality which can hear it, right? We just talk about the truth of moment of hearing, that there are two different kinds of realities. One is the sound and the other is hearing.
Correct, yes.
So sound is the sound cannot experience anything at all. It cannot know who hears or not. But the hearing, the only reality which hears, is there. No matter you call it what. But at that moment, the sound appears to only hearing, not to anyone or saying or thinking at all, but it appears to hearing only. So there are two different kinds in the whole world or universe. One arises and has its own characteristic, which cannot experience anything at all. Like hardness, it cannot experience. Sound cannot, smell cannot. But without the reality which arises and experiences, nothing can be known. Nothing can appear. So there must be the reality which can experience, right? Right now, it sees, it hears, it thinks. And if we call it in general, not in one's own language, we use the word for that which cannot experience, but it's there, as rupa. New word, just rupa. The reality which cannot experience. So from now on, what you take for body, the whole body, it's hard. It does not know who touched it, right? So that is the rupa, dhamma. And the word dhamma stands for everything which is real. So rupa dhamma, no matter where, here, that which cannot experience is real. But without the reality which arises and experiences, nothing can appear at all. No sound, no world, nothing at all. So that which arises and must experience whenever it arises is real, like now. And shall we call it? Nama. So there are two kinds of reality of Dhamma. One is rupa dhamma, that which cannot experience. And the nama dhamma, that which can experience. Whenever it arises, it experiences. That's all. And if there is no understanding of the truth of this, is it real? Not understanding. Ignorance. Is it a reality? So that is nama. That which cannot understand. So there are many, many different kinds of nama and many, many different kinds of rupa, which we can understand from this moment, daily life. Like when before hearing, there's no understanding. It's not you or anyone who does not understand, but it's the reality which cannot understand the truth of whatever appears. And that is avijja or moha. New Pali term, just from one to one, that's all. And when there is understanding after hearing, it's different, right? And that is another reality. It doesn't belong to anyone. But whenever there is whatever appears, it understands or begins to understand theoretically, intellectually, until it conditioned the moment of direct understanding. For example, we can talk about seeing now. It arises, otherwise that cannot be seen, right? And it falls away because it's not moment of hearing. Just one moment at a time, one experience at a time. So at moment of seeing, there's no hearing. Can that be I who see or who hear? Because it's gone completely, never to return at all. No one can look for it or find it anywhere at all. And this is Dhamma, the truth, the absolute truth of what we take for life or everything in life, from birth to death, from time to time, from life to life. So actually, ignorance is there, taking everything for self. While all adhammas, which are conditioned to arise, just to arise and fall away in split seconds. That's why, before there can be the idea of someone here, there must be seeing many moments, right? Not only one moment, to see everything until it condition or make up the idea of something there, like the eyebrow, many moments of experiencing each that which is there, different shape and form. So from seeing many, many moments, it's like the fire stick. When you turn it so quickly in a circle, you will see the light of a circle, not just one light from moment to moment, see? So this is life. It's like the magic world. No one knows how the magician or the citta, the experiencing, the faculty of experiencing, arising and falling all the time from moment to moment. If there is no seeing, there cannot be thinking about that which is seen at all. Is that right? So no one knows that seeing is a moment. It has fallen away, followed by thinking of that which is seen before taking for something. Many, many processes in split seconds. That's why we learn to understand it. Actually, there's no I, no self. There are only impermanent, conditioned reality from moment to moment. So we learn to understand seeing as seeing, not a cat see, a dog see, a human being see. Seeing sees, arising and falling away. It cannot experience other things. It can experience only that which can be seen. Or we call it visible object, or no need to call it anything at all because it's now seen. So at moment of seeing, there are the seeing itself and that which is seen. That which is seen cannot experience anything. So we use the word rupa, dhamma, and that which experiences is nama. So from now on, from day to day, from time to time, at moment of touching, there can be the understanding. It's Dhamma, right? A reality, because Dhamma is reality. Whatever is real, it's a reality. So hardness is touched, not a table is touched, right? Not a microphone is touched, but it's hardness which is touched. So that which cannot experience is Rupa Dhamma. So life consists of, from head to toe and seeing and hearing, nama and rupa, dhammas. That's all. This is begin to become just gradually detached from ignorance and wrong understanding, because nobody can condition the first moment of life and the last moment of life. But everyone knows that there must be life and death by conditions. We cannot select the place, the family, to be born at all. By conditions, each moment. That's why we have more, when there is more understanding, we have more compassion for everything, because they are realities by conditions. Nothing can be permanent at all. Changes all the time, from rich to poor, from fame to fame. Anything can happen at any time by conditions. This is what we learn to understand life, because it's so short. Who knows when will it end? Maybe now, possible. By conditions.
Back to what we were saying before, you said that you think that it's the physical eyes that sees, or the physical ear that hears. Was that, is that correct?
Just forget about that.
Yeah, that's, we've gone all past that.
Okay, so otherwise I want to say something, because this morning we were talking about Dhamma with Florence and Helena, and they said, and then they said that when we hear that there's no one, somehow it can create a sense of guilt because they are designers. So would you like to say a little more about this?
So we were talking with Tam actually this morning. I think our occupation is based on what we feel, what I feel, what I want to do, what I, the I actually, me, my, I mean, my thinking. So now learning about this today, and maybe a little bit before, we can feel a little bit guilty that our main occupation is based about this actually. And just I was talking to Tam, maybe it's not working together that I need to express myself and develop my own sensibility, something like this. So I was thinking about, is it working? Can it work together?
There are dhammas.
Okay. Maybe that you're feeling guilty is also because of I.
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
So you can't avoid that.
Okay. Okay. No, but
no, man. When it's working, I think everyone is looking for it. Whether you are designing for yourself, everybody wants to to have a satisfaction, to express yourself. I think so. Mm-hmm. So I've been a lawyer. I don't know. I don't think it was the right. I don't know if I was meant to be that or if I had a talent for it. But I was doing it. So by doing it, you just express yourself. You're trying to do your best to express the best you can. So it's just an expression. Or I think an engineer, for instance, he's doing the exact thing, expressing himself.
But I think from the beginning until now,
and I don't understand why it is because it's
important to realize that what we're talking about is just understanding the way things are. We understand not only what is real, but we understand that people are different. They have different talents, different accumulations, different tendencies. So everyone will follow their own path, if you want to put it that way, but with more understanding than without. That's all. Just understanding more what is the reality of the present moment. It doesn't mean we should act this way or shouldn't do that. No shoulds. Just what is the reality.
And so basically, however life goes, there are just different dharmas, or we can just say there are different nama dharmas and rupa dharmas, or there are just cheetahs, cheetah seekers, and rupas, the same thing. Cheetahs and cheetah seekers are namas. So no matter its life as a lawyer in Romania or a designer in France or Vietnam, there is still just seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, touching, thinking, different interests, different likes, different dislikes. They're all different dharmas. But usually because there's so much thinking about the story of I and my creativity and this and that, and there's no understanding at all that there's just dharma at this moment, so, however life goes.
So what I understand, actually, there is no good or no bad, right? There is no judgment on what's happening.
We can begin to learn that, for example, at this moment, that like now, there may be moments of kindness or consideration which we can say are wholesome mental factors or chetasikas, wholesome dharmas, and there are moments of attachment, thinking about me and what I would like, or dreaming about what one will have for lunch or something like this. So there are many, many moments of ignorance, many moments of unwholesome thinking. So it's not a matter of having judgment or not. But those moments that are wholesome and those moments that are unwholesome, each one is conditioned to.
So now there's bound to be a lot of ignorance because what we're hearing is new, or moments of distraction, like Anna said. We think we should be listening, but we're thinking about other things. So these are just different dharmas. This is how life is. So it's the understanding that they are dharmas, nama dharmas and rupa dharmas, not my distraction or my problem because I get up late in the morning or my special difficulty because I'm a designer. They're just different dharmas arising and falling away that actually don't belong to anyone. And what we're learning is that these dharmas are common. Like Anna said, no matter one's lifestyle, no matter one's work, there is ignorance, there is attachment, there's thinking about I, there is seeing, there is hearing. So these dharmas are common. Same problems for everyone, just different dharmas. So we begin to learn about the real problems in life actually are not moments of seeing and moments of hearing, which are so brief and just experience visible object or sound. But it's the real problems in life are the thinking with ignorance, the thinking with attachment, the thinking with aversion, and especially the thinking with wrong understanding, taking everything for I and my life. That's so important. Not understanding anything about dharmas.
And even after we've heard, firstly, that there is no I in reality, there's still the story of me and my life. And that goes on forever. But it's beginning to understand that it is just a story, a mental story of me and my life and that person and their life, and so on and so forth. The reality is just different realities, consciousness, and things experienced by consciousness, like sound and visible object. But in terms of my life and what I do and my career, there will always be that story going on. But one comes to see it more as just thinking in a certain way by habit.
But you were talking about not giving any judgment to other people or about yourself. Some moments are wholesome and some are not wholesome. And it helps so much to know that they all have a conditioning factors, different conditioning factors, so many different ones. And when you experience that other people are not very nice to you, and as you say, no judgment because it's conditioned only realities, and that helps very much in your daily life when you are with other people. No one to blame, not yourself to blame even, because it's just a Dhamma and it has to rise and it passes away immediately. So you see your whole life in a different way.
Is it your life? Right. They are different realities.
And even guilt is just a passing dharma. Actually, not my guilt or your guilt or anyone. It's just another dharma, a kind of unwholesome mental factor that arises with a moment of thinking and then is gone. At a moment of seeing, there's no guilt. At a moment of hearing, there's no guilt. At a moment of touching, there's no guilt. So it's just a mental factor, a chaitasika that arises with citta that thinks with aversion for a moment and then it's gone. Like now, any guilt now?
Yes.
Right now?
To feel guilt. No, you mean guilty to be, to could be guilty. Something. No, no, I mean a little bit, maybe... guilty not to be in the moment, you know, sometimes to understand the idea what
so
you're
it's just,
saying,
mm-hmm.
but to have difficulties to feel it and to live it.
Because, so it's just actually because of attachment, one would like to get it, one would like to understand it.
Okay.
Usually no one minds about the attachment because it's pleasant, but when it's not as we would like it, actually it's because
of not getting what one wants at that moment, but it's just a moment of aversion, a moment of unpleasant feeling, which arises for a moment and is gone. If there was no clinging, no attachment, there would be no aversion, no guilt. But it's just a moment and then it's gone. Always wanting something, whether it's a tasty snack or something to eat or to understand. Mm. Actually, it's just clinging for a moment and then gone. So the Buddha taught, actually, whatever arises and falls away in life is unsatisfactory. And clinging and ignorance, attachment and ignorance, are the causes of all problems in life and all difficulties and life continuing on and on and on. Because actually seeing just arises for a moment and is gone. Sound that's heard just arises for a moment and that's gone. So actually it's so useless to cling on to it that attachment is so strong. And the attachment to oneself is strongest of all, because there's no minding if someone else doesn't understand. But it's just for me because I would like to. So one can see the strong clinging to oneself even at that moment. And it's just Dhamma that passes. So even that can be known. So common.
And Sarah gave me such a good reminder. Before I traveled, I was so worried about my trip, how to do it, how to cope with it. Can you repeat what you said to me about worry? I found it a very good reminder for daily life.
Nina was worried or concerned about what would happen when she got to the airport and what would happen when she checked in and what would happen when this and this happened on her journey. And I said, the problem is just the worry now, because life is just at this moment. And so one's dreaming and thinking about what will happen when one gets to the airport. But what about now? What about the worry now? And it's conditioned also by the clinging to oneself, because one's not concerned about whether someone else may have a problem, but what will happen to me. So it's all about the clinging to me that causes that worry or that guilt or that difficulty. But it's always back to this moment. If there's no thinking about the problem now, no worry about the problem now, there's no problem.
Can Kunina not worry now?
Not now. I'm in a circle of good friends, listening to Dhamma.
When there are conditions, it arises. That's all. Uncontrollable. Can you change the worry into something else? See, it's gone. Just arise and falls away. Just be there.
That's very helpful too, that we cannot change anything. It has to happen by conditions, because no self who can control.
And just to clarify, the problem we're saying is not thinking about the future, because obviously one can't live without thinking ahead, but it's the worrying. One can think about what's coming without worrying about it. So there's the thinking, and then there's the worrying, thinking with worrying or without.
And the problem is also that we always take worrying for my worry, for self, like we all the realities we actually take for self, and that makes we are so concerned what happens to myself, and that causes so many problems in life. But when there is a little more understanding, it helps very much.
And worrying is one of the mental factors that we discussed earlier, and we said that some mental factors are wholesome and some are unwholesome. Wholesome means not harmful to oneself or to others, and unwholesome means harmful to oneself or others potentially. So consideration for other people is a wholesome mental factor. Selfishness is an unwholesome one. It's pretty straightforward. Attachment to things, greed, wanting, etc., is an unwholesome mental factor. Aversion, dislike, another one. And also among the wholesome mental factors is understanding, because it helps to see the world as it really is. And its opposite is ignorance, which is an unwholesome mental factor. And another unwholesome one is wrongly understanding the world, because that takes one away from understanding it as it is.
Jonathan, and you would say, for example, worry is unwholesome and it's harmful to oneself and others. It's to oneself in that it accumulates because you're worried about coming here, and then you're here, you're worried about something else. So that's the nature of, and that's the fault in unwholesome mental factors. And you can understand that it's just a conditioned dharma beyond control. You're worried about certain situations, but if you have that tendency to worry, then even in the best of situations, you can worry, right?
Hung is helping me a lot. And at another trip we had together, she said to me when I was worried about something, it's gone already, and I'd like you to tell more about that.
Thank you, Nina, for reminding me about this word, because every Dharma is like we just remember all the things we dislike or like, but it's, in reality it's gone already. And it's very good reminder for me and for, I think, for all of us. Yes.
It doesn't last for an instant, and what one's being concerned about, what happened earlier in our hotel room or the problem we had, it's all gone. Actually, life just exists in a moment now. That's all. That's the point. But always we're lost in the story about what's happened before or what will happen or how will I manage the steps after I get up from here or this or that. But actually, life is just at this moment only. So that's the point. So just to revise also the new words we've learnt this morning, or you've learnt this morning, because we'll keep talking about them. So the first was Dharma. So reality is Dharma. Any reality is Dharma. And we also learnt about Nama Dharmas. Nama are those realities which can experience an object, such as seeing or hearing or thinking. Worry is also Nama. Attachment is Nama. So N-A-M-A, Nama. And Ajahn was talking about Nama Dharmas. So these are realities which are Namas. And another word was Rupa, R-U-P-A. Those realities which cannot experience anything, such as visible object, eye sense, sound, hardness, are Rupas. And we also mentioned there are two kinds of Namas or Nama Dharmas. There are cittas, which are moments of experience, moments of consciousness. So seeing is citta, hearing is citta, thinking is citta. And there are those realities which accompany the cittas, the mental factors that we've been talking about now, like worry or attachment or understanding. These are cetasikas. So two kinds of namas, cittas and cetasikas. So at any moment in life, there is one citta that cannot be seeing and hearing at the same time. But each citta is accompanied by several cetasikas, mental factors. And one other word was punya, which means understanding. And one that Ajahn mentioned, moha, M-O-H-A, moha, which means ignorance. Any other terms?
Avika, what is it?
Avika is ignorance also. Yeah, that's very good. She actually mentioned two words, which was quite advanced, I thought. But anyway, moha, M-O-H-A, and avijja, A-V-I-J-J-A, exactly the same. Ignorance, so two different words. Moha and avijja, yes.
They are the same.
Exactly the same reality, not understanding. Sometimes in one context one word is used, in another context another word is used, but it's exactly the same reality. Like
in the beginning, we may think there's not much ignorance. You know, we go through life, we know what we're doing, and we're attending to the right object, and we're performing our work quite well. No, not much ignorance, but we begin to understand that actually at this moment, when there's no understanding, when there are no wholesome cheaters, such as moments of kindness or moments of understanding, actually ignorance is there, not understanding anything about life at this moment. So it's very, very common, much more common than we have any idea about.
Chetasika.
So at each moment in life, one chitta arises. It's a kind of nama. So the chitta is the chief in experiencing, the leader. So seeing is chitta, hearing is chitta. But seeing cannot arise alone. It has to arise with several associated mental factors, and these are the chetasikas. For example, whenever seeing arises, there has to be a focusing on the object, there has to be a contacting of the object. These are the functions of chetasikas that arise with the chitta. At a moment of when one is guilty, feeling guilty, the thinking is chitta, the leader in experience. The guilt is a mental factor that arises with that unwholesome chitta at a different, not at the moment of seeing or hearing, but at another moment of thinking. So guilt is a chetasika, attachment is a chetasika, understanding is a chetasika, ignorance is a chetasika.
And it's these mental factors that make the present moment consciousness wholesome or unwholesome. There's thinking all day long, and there can be thinking with attachment, or when we talk about worrying, we mean thinking with a certain kind of unwholesome tendency and unpleasant feeling. Anxiety and all these things are unwholesome mental factors that accompany the moment of consciousness.
And what is the difference between seta chetasika and namadama?
Very good question. So there are two kinds of nama or nama dhammas. It's the same. So one kind of nama is chitta, the chief in experiencing, and the other kind of nama is chetasika, the mental factors which arise with the chitta. So we can say there's everything is dhamma, everything is nama dhamma or rupa dhamma, everything is chitta, chetasika, or rupa, because chitta and chetasikas are all namas. And this morning at breakfast with Cindy, we were talking about memory, sanya chetasika. So that's a kind of chetasika that arises at each moment. At each moment of life, there is memory or marking the object. And it's because of memory there is thinking afterwards about shapes, patterns, cups, colors, but we can talk more about memory and these other chetasikas this afternoon, I think.